Today on Real Radio.
What we will have is a time of instruction in the Word of God with the intent that we who name the name of Jesus leave this place in these weeks ahead of us and we go out into the world in which we live and make a radical difference for Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. There's an old adage that goes something like this: the life of a Christian doesn't get easier, it gets better. And one way it's better is through spiritual gifts. Now that's what we've been learning in this series, taken from the first five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul mentions certain spiritual gifts and how these gifts are used to build up believers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now continuing his series called Bodybuilding in the Church of God.
We are looking into this message of 1 Corinthians 14, this chapter, predominantly in such a way that you are not in church this morning as traditional church goes. Let's all agree with that. I made that clear last week. We are in a classroom, and if that's too scary for you, then imagine that we're all sitting around a coffee table right now, and we're talking. We are not going to have a lecture, we're not going to have a sermon, we're not going to have I don't know what, but what we will have is a time of instruction in the Word of God with the intent that we who name the name of Jesus leave this place in these weeks ahead of us and we go out into the world in which we live and make a radical difference for Christ. That we learn once and for all that spectator Christianity is an oxymoron. That's two things that cannot come together. They will repel one another. You cannot be a Christian and be a spectator. And so I gave a challenge last time in part one of this message. And that was for you to decide and to pray that you would make the determination that if you're going to stay in this church and be a viable participant of this church, that you would yield yourself fully to the possession of God, that God would have all of you. And that if that wasn't something that you were interested in, that it would be a good time for you to seek out a church or a ministry or something where you can just hide in the shadows. But as for this house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. We are going to pursue God because, listen, evil is marching like never before in my lifetime, perhaps like never before in our nation's history. The days are getting darker. Christians are being targeted. Christians are being singled out to be demoted or to be mocked or ridiculed. Our own General Boykin was removed this week from West Point to speak as a Christian Delta Force commander, four or three-star general, graduate of West Point, an American legend in military operations. He was invited by the Christians on campus at West Point to speak to the Christians at their prayer gathering, and the Muslim cadets stopped General Boykin from being able to come on campus of his own alma mater, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on? They cited his biblical views, that is Christian views. That's one thing. Are you a Christian? Are you taking a stand? And I'm not saying being obnoxious. I'm talking about taking a stand that is loving everybody, but standing for righteousness. You know, we can do that, you guys. We can love everyone. We can love the people who are the most perverse or gross sinners. We can love them because God loves them. And at the same time, we can stand for righteousness. There's no contradiction in that. And everything I'm talking about, all is based on this point. Number one, we have the cross of Christ as Christians. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the entire world. And the next thing is that we have the greatest message in the world to present to that world. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And to do the job of reaching this world, of declaring the message, We have the power. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." And he says, "Go therefore into all the world and preach this gospel." He says, "I'm sending you out into all this world." And he tells us in the book of Acts that he does that by giving us all power. And listen, that's what my Bible says. Church, listen. The Bible says you and I have all power. We've got the message because, listen, we believe in what God did at the cross. We've got something to say. We're not just saying something. We've got something to say. And with all of that commission that God has given us to go do, he's given us gifts of the Holy Spirit to be a strong, healthy, vibrant church and to make a great difference in our world. And that's exciting because that's where we're at. So look in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll look at verses 1 to 5 again and part 2 of our message entitled Bodybuilding in the Church of God, because that's really what it's all about, building up the body. He said, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. The word is spirituals, but we know it means gifts. But especially that you may prophesy, proclaim the truth among all, reveal the word of God. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but who? To God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. And that's a good thing, but there's a place for it. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. That is both believers and non-believers, church. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And that's not a bad thing. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, says the Apostle Paul, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies, that is, proclaims the word of God, is greater, that is, more beneficial than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. As I mentioned last time, so I say it again, this is an awesome chapter that we must beware of the temptation to be just simply theologically correct as we interpret the scriptures in light of scriptures. We must look at this chapter with the determination to put it into practice. Why? Two main reasons. Number one, this chapter reveals the ownership of Jesus Christ regarding his people and his church, and he magnifies that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the empowerment is present in the church if we obey what God's word has to say, and the Holy Spirit will use you and I to build one another up. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, I don't know how you feel this morning, your first service, and it's early and it's cool outside and all that kind of stuff. You may or may not have had breakfast or a cup of coffee, I don't know. Put all that aside. The truth of the matter is, you and I right now, if we're Christians, we have been designed to minister to one another, and to edify one another in the Lord. And when we walk with Jesus, that's what's going to happen. When we don't walk with Jesus, we're going to tear down, consume, gossip, backbite, and eat one another up. So we choose which one we're going to do. We are going to choose to operate under the power of the Spirit in obeying the word of God and edify one another. You guys, we barely got started last week. Do you remember that? So listen, very quickly. This is what you found out last week. When we talked about bodybuilding in the church of God, our first point, which is the only one we got to, really, was this, that strengthening your personal faith mattered to God, verses 1 and 2. And there's three things we looked at. That there's the strengthening of your focus. We found that in verse 1. Pursue love. He announced that we're to be pursuing love. And we studied that in chapter 13. The focus of our ministry life should be rooted and grounded in love. And our personal faith as a Christian is to have that focus. Secondly, we looked at the effectiveness of our Christian lives, that it really would make a difference. He said, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, because it is God's desire that we be effective believers. Church, listen, answer the question silently in your mind. Who in your life, who in this church is dependent upon your Christianity? You got to answer that. If the answer is nobody, you're in great peril. You're in great danger. I mean that. I'm not being cute. I'm telling you, you're in great danger. If nobody is dependent upon your ministry or your life as a Christian, your effectiveness, then you're not participating in the development of the body of Christ. your effectiveness is in question. So what you want to do is pay close attention to where we're going so that you might be an effective believer. And then thirdly, we got into the opening throes of endurance. Listen, strengthening your personal faith, verse 2, we learned is the strengthening of your endurance. Look at with me, verse 2. He says, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the spirit, he speaks ministries. Bible students, take out your pen, your highlighter, and look at the latter end of verse 1. Circle the word prophesy or prophecy. To prophesy, as I mentioned, is to hold forth the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not if somebody comes up to you and says, I have the gift of prophecy and I'm going to tell you your future. Ladies and gentlemen, that is crazy. That's not biblical. That's not true. It is the proclamation, listen, of God's word. Watch the proclamation. For example, part of the gift of a pastor teacher is this gift, ministry gift of prophecy, meaning that in the teaching of the message, there will be application. There may be even a word that is given forth in the context of teaching that could have an element of a futuristic understanding, but it's to build you up and get you ready, not to tell you that you're going to find a dollar bill tomorrow at 3 o'clock. That's not it. To prophesy is to hold forth the word, to speak it out. For example, when you go to the Harvest Crusades, Greg Laurie is an evangelist, a serious evangelist, I might add. I mean, Greg Laurie can just show up and read a menu at a restaurant and people get saved. What is that? That is a profound gift of the Holy Spirit of God in evangelism, and we'll study that in the future. But with that, when Greg Laurie holds forth the word of God, when he's preaching, preaching is predominantly context of preaching, is that which is used to bring people to Christ or to excite people's hearts to consider Christ. Teaching is to the body of Christ. There's preaching and teaching. But the element of evangelism has within it this thing of prophesying or prophecy, to hold forth or put out the word of God. This is a very, very serious thing. And here's the fun part about what we're doing. I need all of you to be asking God, Lord, do you have this gift for me? Do you have it for me? You know, in Luke chapter 1, it's hot on my heart right now because I had the joy of being with Horizon Christian Fellowship and their men yesterday in the morning and afternoon, and we're with them, and I taught on Luke chapter 1, and it's amazing because Mary, remember Mary, she hears the announcement from the angel Gabriel, and Mary says, how can this be? How can this be happening to me? The Lord has looked upon me as his humble maidservant. What great things has God done for me? She says, my heart rejoices and my spirit is glad in God, my Savior. Christian church, get this into your heart right here, right now. God is not desiring to overlook you or pass you by. Stop thinking that God has his favorites. He does not. In fact, let me put it this way. You are God's favorite. And I can prove that biblically. John the disciple referred to himself in the Gospel of John as Jesus' beloved disciple. He believed he himself was the beloved disciple. And the cute thing about it is, John, the way he phrases it in John's Gospel, he's so believing that, Jesus so communicated that truth to him, that John really believed that he was the most loved disciple of all of them. And that's exactly how you're supposed to be thinking about you. No, I need self-esteem. Why settle for self-esteem? What is that? Self-esteem is your appraisal of yourself. That's the path of a loser. I mean, seriously, Well, you know, I'm just going to take a class and think 12 happy thoughts about myself. Let me spare you the time and money. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. That is to himself. He's crazy about you. That's all the esteem you need to know. Your self-identity is in Christ. And the truth of the matter is, he wants to use you to be an instrument in the body of Christ, the church. And this is exciting stuff. I mean, I am absolutely excited about this. Verse 2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Let's look at this for a second. This rules out, listen, as I mentioned last time, I got to say it again, some of your eyebrows went up. Because remember, weren't you guys the Pentecostal group over here? You were. And then you guys were the super conservative group over here, right? All the Baptists are over here, right? And you guys are all right on in here, right? You guys are all the right on ones? That there's a balance. Both camps are wrong. There's a balance. The Bible says, but he who speaks, or for he who speaks in a tongue, that is an unknown language, does not speak to men, but to God. So what do you see right now? Number one, regarding the gift of tongues, there's a variation. We studied last time in the book of Acts chapter 2 that when they spoke in tongues, it was known languages of the world. Remember? The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, those living in Cappadocia and Mesopotamia, those who came from the region of Libya and Cyrene, when they were all together in Jerusalem, they heard the disciples speaking in their own language the wonderful works of God. That's one variation of tongues. Then there's another variation where it needs an interpretation. That the person prompted by the Holy Spirit speaks it, but never publicly without someone possessing the gift of interpretation in the gathering. Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun coming to the middle of this chapter later on. When I say later on, I mean months from now, apparently, at our pace. But there's a variation of application regarding the gift of tongues, not to worry. The benefits of speaking, now listen, everyone listen. The benefits of speaking or praying in a tongue is very important. See what? Look in your Bible. Skip ahead. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Paul says, for if I pray, not speak, pray in a tongue, my spirit. Church, look in your Bibles. It's a lowercase s. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is Paul's spirit. The part that's born again. My spirit prays, but my mind, my education, my knowledge, my head is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm praying. I'm praying, Paul says, in a language alone by myself that I don't know. My spirit prays. Okay, I can tell some of you right now need some smelling salts. Watch this carefully, because many of you have never been taught this or you've been taught wrong. Paul is simply saying, verse 14, chapter 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit is praying. But my understanding, that is my mind, doesn't get it. It's not a bad thing. Verse 15. What is the conclusion then? Listen to what the apostle says. I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the mind, the understanding. Translation, look at me, everybody. I need your attention. I will pray in English, because that's what I know. And there's times when I will pray in a tongue I don't know. Watch this. I will sing with the Spirit. Ooh. And I will also sing with understanding. Church, listen. A moment ago, you were singing with understanding. Weren't you? Listen, Paul's going to teach us in this chapter that when he's alone, when he is alone, he will speak or he will pray by himself in an unknown language. He doesn't understand what he's saying, but his spirit will be edified and that prayer life will be emboldened and you will know that you're doing work before God in prayer even though your mind doesn't get it. And when you say amen and get up from your prayer closet and walk out, you know that something's happened. You know it. You know that it's an amazing power in prayer. But his Hebrew or Greek, you know, Paul knew several languages, his Aramaic, his Hebrew, his Greek, he never prayed in that prayer. in that moment. There's times when he did, there's times when he didn't. And apparently Paul would be alone and he would sing with knowledge and he would sing in his language, prayer language, and he didn't know what he was saying. But he's going to stress in this chapter later on that he did it alone. Interesting, huh? So maybe you're visiting today and you're saying, oh my goodness, Pastor, if I knew this was the title and the topic, I wouldn't have come today. Why? Because you guys over here are afraid that someone's going to pop up over there and say, oh, and all this stuff. And oh my goodness, it's a wacko crazy church. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because first of all, I mean, it could happen if somebody's emotionally pumped up and charged and they had too much coffee. But the Holy Spirit won't be doing it. And I'll tell you the reason why with absolute assurance. We are in the context right now of the Holy Spirit operating the gift of pastor teacher. Yep. That's what's happening right now. With an element of prophecy taking place in the preaching of the word. When I was talking about the cross, talking about the message, talking about the power, that's the element of prophesying or preaching the word of God. 1 Corinthians 14, skip down to verse 18 now. Paul says, now listen, this is the great apostle. He says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. He's from Texas. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, mark verse 19, in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding. He would say today, I'd rather speak five words in English here in Chino Hills that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Isn't that amazing? The clarity of that. Here we go. Point number two. We're doing good. We made it to point two. Verses 3-4. We're on our way. Bodybuilding in the church of God is the developing of the faith of others. Developing the faith of others. Verse 3. Developing means that faith in this context, developing faith means confidence. This is fun. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Three things, edification, exhortation, and comfort. There are three marked evidences of biblical pastor-teacher in the context regarding the church. Number one, the word edification. Mark it down. It is a powerful word.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, where Paul writes of how certain spiritual gifts are used to build up the body of Christ. In fact, Bodybuilding in the Church of God is a mini-series, which means we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, you've heard Pastor Jack say this quite a few times. He says, if you don't know Scripture, you'll never understand the conflict in the Middle East. That really is true. You see, if we read or watch the news without knowing God's promises to historical figures like Abraham and Joshua, or if we don't know the prophecies of Daniel and Zechariah, which are all recorded in Scripture, we just might walk away with an opinion that is indeed opposite of what the Word of God tells us. Now that is why we're offering to you the DVD called What's Really Happening in the Middle East. It's our video presentation that takes a look at the Bible in detail regarding key events relevant to our day today. Now, did you know that there's a chronological order of events and situations happening right now that God's written word said would happen? It's true. What's Really Happening in the Middle East? That's the title of the DVD we're offering right now for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. Then click on the banner right there that says, What's Really Happening in the Middle East? realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send a gift of any amount to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, whether you click, call, or write, be sure to mention the DVD by name, What's Really Happening in the Middle East. Have you ever had maybe a question about what's going on? Why don't you get this DVD and find out? Of course, all of our contact info can be found real easily at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.